Amen. He's worthy of all of our praise. Let's bow our heads to Him. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be here today. Lord, if you would have left us alone, we'd be out in the world somewhere. Lord, if you didn't draw us to yourself, Lord, we'd be drawn to something else, Lord. We're so grateful for your mercy, for your grace, for the blood that was shed on Calvary, Lord. We'll never forget the sacrifice that you made. We'll never forget the price that was paid that we could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for so great a plan of salvation, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, Lord. It is our food. It is our resting place. It is our absolute, O God. We thank you. There's a place for us to rest our souls, to rest our faith. And Lord, we ask you to bless us today. We need you, Lord. We're a needy people, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to be with Brother Ed, Lord. We know that he has a need, Lord. He called today, Lord. We just bless him, Lord, oh God. Right where he is, Lord. Be his comforter right now. Lord, any sickness in our midst, Lord, by your stripes we were healed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, you promise us the Holy Ghost. Baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, draw us to yourself. May you bless the reading of your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're standing, can we turn this morning? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Happy to be here today.
Amen.
James chapter 5. And I'm going to read a larger portion than I originally wanted. Let's start with verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You believe that today? Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door.
Amen.
Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
Amen.
Aren't we grateful for that?
Amen.
Amen.
But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray.
Amen.
Is any merry? Let him sing psalms.
Amen.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Amen.
And the Lord shall raise him up.
Hallelujah.
And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven.
Amen.
Him.
Hallelujah.
Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another.
Amen.
That ye may be healed.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months.
Amen.
And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins.
Amen.
Father, thank you for your word. May you help us today, Lord. I confess that I'm insignificant, Lord. I'm insufficient, Lord, to stand here and to do anything good. But Lord, if you would come by your grace, if you could send your Spirit today, Lord, and lift us up in the heavenly places, Lord, I believe that all things are possible.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, today. Bless your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to know that there is a God.
Amen.
And that He hears us.
Amen.
He's mindful of us.
Amen.
And that His word is true.
Amen.
You know, I know Sister Dot took comfort in the Lord in her last time here on earth. And it's good to see you, Brother Paul. And I know all the family was comforted that she was a real Christian.
Amen.
You know, I mean, and so what kind of legacy can we leave to our loved ones and our friends, you know, if we face that hour, you know, if we happen to go before the Lord comes, I think we all would want to leave that same kind of comfort.
Amen.
To our loved ones. You know, when Brother Ed's wife left and we had to speak at her funeral, I remember feeling such comfort because I had no doubt she was a real Christian.
Amen.
Something about her life, she was just something inside of her. She loved the Word of God.
Amen.
She wasn't a discouraging person. She was an encouraging person.
Amen.
You know, and she often would come to me and just speak an encouraging word. You don't realize how wonderful that is.
Amen.
You know, to be someone that's positive, that believes God and wants to help other people. I think we all want to be that.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, we all fight spirits and we all are subject to spirits. And sometimes we're not aware that we can be overcome with negativity and things like that. But that's why we pray, so the Lord can deliver us from those things.
Amen.
And fill us with His wonderful
Amen.
Spirit.
Amen.
And to let His Spirit have preeminence.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So just a few things I wanted to mention. Brother Ed did call me as well, Brother Tim. And he's always so kind and gracious. He doesn't want to disturb anybody and bother anybody, but I think we need to bother him. I think we need to go visit Brother Ed, and right now he could probably use some fellowship, and so I need to do that, brothers. We've been talking about it, but sometimes you got to stop talking about it. You got to do it, right?
Amen.
So we know Brother Ed wants to be here, you know, and it's just hard for him when he can't be here. We have the fellowship meal today, Brother Tim mentioned. I've been reading the life of George Mueller. I passed out some of his life story books, and we'll share them around to each one another. Truly amazing life. But what strikes me is the simplicity of his faith, you know, that God called him to simply trust completely in the promises of God. And he was willing to abandon all the human things that we trust in and just in faith trust in the promises of God, the very simple promises of God.
Amen.
You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
But I think there's a secret there in his life that's underneath it all, that he was fully committed to God.
Amen.
So therefore he could have faith. See, if we're half committed, we can't have the same kind of faith.
Amen.
See, but when we're fully committed to God, then we can expect him to keep his promises to us. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So that full commitment to God, that you know, if your heart condemns you, God knows your heart. You know, if there's something bothering us about our life, then we need to take care of that. We need to address that. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, I still want to dig into that a little more. I think there's something there for us to look at the example of one that really trusted in God and saw the results of that.
Amen.
Because I believe if we really believe the Word of God, the Word is a seed, and if we plant that, it's going to grow, it's going to produce, it's going to manifest.
Amen.
That should be the Christian's desire.
Amen.
I like how he said there's a difference between a Christian and a happy Christian. That's what he said. You know, and to me, you can be a Christian and following, but what he was talking about was when you really surrender to God, there's a joy that goes with that.
Amen.
And that God is able to satisfy our soul.
Hallelujah.
More than anything in this world.
Amen.
can do it. So I think he tapped into some kind of truth, and maybe there's something there we can learn from that.
Amen.
So today I want to talk a little bit about the scripture when it said Elijah was a man. You know, there's a thought that in this end time about prophets that is an error. And the error is that prophets are infallible. That is not true. That is not scriptural.
Amen.
Prophets are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they are? They're men.
Amen.
That God used.
Amen.
That's really the truth of it.
Good, brother. Amen.
And so I want to talk about that today. Elijah was a true prophet. We don't know much about his life before he came on the scene from the scripture. Perhaps if we knew more about his life, perhaps if we had a recording of his every conversation and his every sermon, you know, we could pick apart this Elijah's life like they do today. But we don't have those recordings. We don't have all these stories. See, we have so much information today about a prophet in the end time that people feel free to criticize him. And I think they should be careful about that. So, but Elijah was a chosen man of God. He was a chosen prophet of God, not infallible, but definitely used by God. In 1 Kings, I'm not going to go through all these scriptures that I gave Sean, but I just want to reference them. 1 Kings 17:1, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word.
Amen.
So the Lord spoke to Elijah and told him what to do, and he went in the name of the Lord. He said, it's not going to rain till I call for it. 3.5 years of no rain. So that really got the attention of people. And God did that. God knows how to get the attention of the people. And at that time, he used a no rain. So after that, Elijah, God just took him out in the wilderness, and the ravens fed him. Can you imagine? He's out there. He's getting bread and meat. And in the morning and the evening, he's being fed by the ravens, and then he drinks from the brook. And then, but because of the no rain, eventually that brook dried up. And then God told Elijah to go to this widow woman. You know the story, Bible readers. So let's go to 1 Kings 17:7. Let me just read a little bit of this story. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now, you know, if you had asked that widow woman, I wonder if she understood that. Because when Elijah got there and he asked her for food, she's like, well, I'm going to have my last meal. Me and my son are going to die. So, but God had ordained that she wasn't going to die. And she didn't know it yet. You know, God does things we don't always know about. And God doesn't tell us everything. God doesn't tell his prophets everything. But God knows what he's doing. So, and there commanded a widow woman to stay in thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And he came there to the gate of the city. Behold, the widow woman was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. You know, it might have seemed a little presumptuous, right? You know, like, who are you, you know? And a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord, thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Obviously, she didn't get the message. She's ordained to feed this prophet, right?
Amen.
That's all right. You know, God don't have to always tell us everything.
Amen.
So, that we may die. 13. And Elijah said to her, fear not. Now she's getting the message now. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God.
Amen.
Now, this is not Elijah talking. This is God talking.
Amen.
This is what God said. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth.
Amen.
And she went and did according to what Elijah said. So she had to believe that was from God before she would make that for him first.
Amen.
Because now she believed that he was like some kind of shyster. She'd say, I'm not making him no cake. He's taking my last cake, right? But she believed
Amen.
The word of the Lord that came through the prophet, and therefore she fed him first, and the word was fulfilled in her life.
Amen.
Right? She saw the fulfillment of that. See, we have to obey God.
Sure.
And God speaks through many ways.
Amen.
You know, God speaks through the scriptures. We need to obey the scriptures. But God can speak through other ways.
Amen.
And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah.
Amen.
So here's this man Elijah. He went down and he told them, listen, it's not going to rain until I call for it. He goes out in the wilderness, and then the ravens feed him, and he goes to the widow's son, and he speaks to her, and God does a miracle where the barrel didn't go dry, and praise God.
Amen.
God is still a God of miracles.
Amen.
We can still believe God for a miracle.
Amen.
Even if the whole world doesn't believe in miracles, I believe God is supernatural.
Hallelujah.
And see, we need to believe that. Many people don't see God move because they don't believe he will.
Preacher, brother.
We need to believe that God is supernatural.
Amen.
We need to expect God to be God.
Amen.
That's how we're going to see him. You know, George Mueller's life, you know, I'm thinking about it. He expected God to hear his prayer and answer his prayer. I'm trusting in you, Lord. I refuse to ask any man for any help, for financial help. He would never ask anybody for help.
Right. Amen.
But he would kneel down when he had a need, and he would pray, and he said, God, I have a need here, and he's expected and waited God to come, and people would come knock on his door.
Right.
Oh,
and a woman knocked on his door right when he was praying for a need, and she said, do you need money? And he said, well, I told the Lord I'm not going to ask anybody for money. And here she's asking, she's offering him money.
Amen.
She said, well, God told me to come here and give you money.
Amen.
You believe God does that?
Amen.
God does that. People
Amen.
Here have experienced that, so we know it's true.
Amen.
God is God.
Amen.
But we should expect him to be God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Not rely on our human side.
Amen.
So, again, I don't want to read everything, but the widow's son dies. And she says, let me just read it. Chapter 17, verse 17. I love to read scripture.
Amen. Hallelujah.
People say, you read too much. Well
Amen.
It's the word of God, you know.
Amen.
We can eat too much, but I don't think we can pray too much. And I don't think we can read the Bible too much.
Sure,
and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath in him. And she said to Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance,
mm-hmm.
and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took her out of her bosom and carried him up to a loft where he abode, and he laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times. And see, sometimes we're like, I want to do it once and that's it. Three times, and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived.
Amen.
He was dead and he rose from the dead.
Amen.
That's what the soul came into him and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber in the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. Now some people don't believe that signs and wonders mean anything. And we don't put signs and wonders ahead of the word of God.
Yes, that's right.
But these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
See, they shall follow. So you got to be careful. You don't put, someone could have signs and wonders, and they could be falsely anointed, we know. But, you know, the anointing may be God, but there might be something in them, false anointed ones, you know. But then someone could have signs and wonders and be of God. Right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the living Lord.
So we got to be careful that we don't dismiss the supernatural as that don't mean anything.
Sir, brother, amen.
See, that's what some of the critics are doing today of Brother Branham's ministry is, that don't mean nothing. Thousands of miracles, signs and wonders and everything like that. Yeah, but that don't mean nothing. Really? What about in your life?
Exactly.
That's right.
What do you got going in your life? Well, there is no supernatural. There's no, I don't lead any souls to Christ or anything. I'm just critical. My legacy is to criticize people.
Lost.
Which one do you want to follow?
Exactly.
Amen, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. So Elijah now in chapter 18, verse 1, came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go and show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain to the earth. So now he knows it's going to rain. 3.5 years go by, and look at all the supernatural in his life. I'm leading you to somewhere, and I want you to keep following me, all right? So, 1 Kings 18:17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? You know, and I preached on this before. You know, isn't it amazing? Elijah wasn't troubling Israel. Ahab was troubling Israel. Ahab was wrong, and Elijah was right. But here's Ahab, pronounced as one of the most wicked kings in Israel, and he's pointing his finger at Elijah, saying, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Isn't it amazing how delusional people can be?
That's right,
Brother John. Everybody else, not me. Listen, we got to check ourselves.
Amen.
We can be wrong and not know it.
Amen.
We can be in the shoes of Ahab, severely wrong in the eyes of God, but in our own mind, we're free to accuse a prophet of God,
Amen.
Or a man of God, or a child of God.
Amen.
You don't want to be in those shoes. Doesn't end well. Art thou he that troubled Israel? He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. We got a showdown coming.
Amen.
Do you realize there's another showdown coming?
Yes, sir. Amen.
In this day. And the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, and which are at Elijah's table, gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then it said Elijah unto the people, I, even I, only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods And I'll call on the name of the Lord. See, Elijah already knew what was going to happen. How did he already know what was going to happen?
Amen.
He already saw in the vision.
Amen.
He wasn't going out on a limb, guessing. He knew what was going to happen. Lay it on wood and put in a fire, and I'll dress it, and call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, put no fire under. And they took on the bullock which was given and dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. Of course. And they leaped up upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them.
Hallelujah.
Now, the spirit of Elijah is not the same exact spirit of Christ.
Well,
amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Elijah was bold. Elijah was in your face.
Yes, sir.
Elijah was rude.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
See, and we're not called to be like Elijah. We're called to be like Jesus.
Amen.
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 People don't understand that.
Amen.
He mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and he must be with. He was being sarcastic. Hey, shout a little louder. Are we supposed to be like that? I say no. I say no, you know. And if you look at Elijah's spirit, you're going to find things that you're going to say, wow, you know. When a man stands up and says, any woman with makeup, just say hello, Miss Dog Meat. Whoa. That's not nice. That's bold, and that's blunt, and that's rude, but that's Elijah. That's not our example. We're not called here to put an eagle belt buckle on and a cowboy hat and to be rude to everybody. We're called to love sinners.
Amen.
You can hate the sin, but you love the sinner. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute. Pray for them despitefully use you and persecute. Amen?
Amen.
We're called to be Christians, followers of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But Elijah was a man. He wasn't perfect. All right. I'm not even sure that this behavior was sanctioned by God, frankly. All right. Cry aloud. Okay, let's go to Mount Carmel, chapter 18, verse 28. And they cried aloud and cut themselves with the manner of knives and lancets till blood gushed out of them. You know, people can be sincere and be sincerely wrong.
Yes. Amen.
We know that's true.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
And it came to pass when midday was passed, they prophesied unto the time of the offering of even sacrifice that there was neither voice. They ran out of voice. They're screaming so loud. Nor any to answer, nor any that regard. And Elijah said to the people, come near to me. Okay, they're all done. They're just spent. Nothing happened. Come near to me. And all the people came near. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels of water. Now let me stop right there. He didn't have much water.
Amen.
3.5 years.
Amen.
And this guy wants 4 barrels of water? That could be easily criticized. Easily find fault with that. Fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the sacrifice and on the wood. He said, do it a second time. Did it again. And did it a second time. Do it a third time. And did it again. Look at all the water they wasted. Look at all the water he wasted.
Amen.
Listen, if you're critical, you'll find something to criticize.
That's right. That's right.
If you got a critical spirit, if you're looking to find fault, God will give you something to find fault, but that doesn't mean you're right. And it doesn't mean they're wrong. All right? And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering and the eating sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel.
Amen.
And I am thy servant. I have done all these things at thy word.
Amen.
In other words, God, you told me to do this.
Amen.
Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again.
Amen.
Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench.
Hallelujah.
When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.
Amen.
And Elijah said to them, take the prophets of Baal, let no one escape. And he took them down. Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there.
Amen.
Look at the boldness.
Amen.
He knew where he stood.
Amen.
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 This was a man, but it was a man of God who saw a vision of God, and he challenged all those false prophets.
Oh my.
You know, there was a prophet in this day named William Branham. He went to India. Thousands of people came, and he stood there in front of all these different religions, the Sikhs, the Jains, and all these people there, and the priests. And this is part of history. You can check it out. And he met them, and they criticized Christianity, and he stood there, and he took it, and they said, your religion's nothing and everything, and he said, all right, I've listened to you. Now you come tonight. Woo, that's Elijah.
Amen.
Saying, come up to Mount Carmel tonight.
Amen.
And he stood there and he praying for people. And then the man came up that was blind because he worshiped the sun.
Amen.
Brother Bram saw a vision of this man receiving his sight right then.
Amen.
A vision.
Thanks.
He saw the man. And so he knew where he stood.
Hallelujah.
He said, now this man said he's going to worship the God that can give him his sight.
Amen.
I stood there in front of you. He challenged those other religions. I stood there and you criticized Christianity. Now this man said, if your God can give him his sight, he'll serve your God.
Amen.
Come on up now.
Amen.
He said, nobody moved. They couldn't.
Amen.
And he said, I can't give this man. You know, Brother Branham's ministry did not point to Brother Branham.
No, sir.
If you listen to what he said, he was pointing us to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was pointing us
right
back to the original gospel.
Amen.
His ministry was restoration.
Amen.
Not something new, not a new gospel, not something weird and mysterious, but something old and wonderful.
Amen.
Back to Pentecost.
Amen.
Back to the spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost.
Hallelujah.
That was the message.
Amen.
I know people have perverted it and made it say all things that he didn't say. But the truth of it, if you really listen to what he said, if you yield to the heart of the message of the hour, it'll draw you closer to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It'll encourage you to have a personal relationship with God. I believe it'll make you love God more.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we can acknowledge the servant of God, but we're not worshiping the servant of God.
Amen.
So Brother Bram stood there, and then, as you know, he said, I can't heal this man, but Jesus Christ. He said, how many here will give your life to Jesus Christ if this man received his sight? And thousands.
Amen.
Did. And as you know, he prayed for the man, and he received his sight, and there was people there that knew the man. So praise God.
Amen.
God is still God.
Amen.
He still has prophets. He still confirms his word with signs and wonders. And so I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
But let's go back to Elijah back here in this day with Ahab. Now, the rain came, and we know he ran ahead of Elijah. Let's go back to 1 Kings 19:1, Sean. And so all this happened. Now, Picture the scene. What a victory. Elijah could have sang, "Victory is mine. Victory." You know, he could have been really happy about that. Let's go to 1 Kings 19, verse 1. "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah." Now, I'm not going to make fun of Jezebel, but can you imagine what this woman was like? All right. "Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.'" Well, of course, Elijah, what he should have done is stand right up there and say, "All right, go ahead. Let's see your God do it." Is that what he did?
No, he didn't, man.
Elijah was a man.
Amen.
Now watch. "And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life." He ran for his life. "And came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down on a juniper tree, and he felt sorry for himself." That's not what it says, but you read between the lines. "And he requested for himself that he might die." He wanted to die. "And said, 'It is enough now. O Lord, take my life. I am not better than my father's.'"
Amen.
Now, I am not criticizing Elijah. What I'm saying is Elijah was a man. James said Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. He was not perfect. He was not infallible.
Good, brother. Amen.
He was a man. And when the anointing of God was on him and the inspiration of God, there was boldness and the word of the Lord came and God did wonderful things. But when the anointing lifts off any of us, we're left with us.
Right.
It's just us.
That's good, Brother John.
And I don't know about you, but when it's just me, I'm not so happy.
No good. Amen.
I need the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I need the anointing of God. I need the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Which is a gift.
Preach it, brother. Amen.
I need the grace of God.
Oh, brother. Amen.
But there are times, brother and sister, that we walk as men and women, and without God, we can do nothing.
No, sir, brother. Amen.
Nothing. And Elijah was a man as like passions as we are.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's go further. 19 verse 9. "And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?' He said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, and thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And he said, 'Go forth and stand in the mount before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice."
Amen.
Do you realize how powerful that can be to get alone and to hear the still small voice of God?
Amen.
If I could give that experience to every one of you, I'd do it. But I can't.
Amen.
It's something that we need to expect. We need to believe. When we pray, we shouldn't just pray one-way street.
Amen.
We should. It is right to make our, with supplication, to make our requests known to God. That is scriptural. But it's also scriptural that God speaks back.
Amen.
God can speak to us directly. God can speak through a prophet. God can speak through the scriptures. But God can speak to you in a still small voice.
Amen.
And I believe, I believe God has spoken to me in a still small voice many times.
Amen.
Now, I can't prove it to you, but it's for me. It's for you. It's for individuals. God gives you many experiences that are just for you. You know, a lot of times Sister Mary Ann was criticized because she'd share every experience she had with God. I believe she had every one of them. But when she tried to share them, people thought she was nuts. Okay? Because sometimes what God does for you is for you.
Amen.
Okay? And it's not our job to get everybody to believe that we had an interaction with God. It's for us.
Amen.
You know because you were there.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And right now, more than ever, we, everyone, need face-to-face contact with God.
Amen.
We need to hear the voice of God.
Amen.
And sometimes He'll bring correction. And it cuts. And it hurts. But it's good for us.
Amen.
Because one thing about the correction of God, He always brings a healing salve behind
Amen.
It. The devil, when he comes to you, that's how you know the difference. He condemns you and leaves you going to hell.
Amen.
That's the spirit of the devil. The spirit of God, when He corrects you, by His grace leads you to repentance. He leads you to Calvary. He leads you to the place where He can restore you.
Amen.
See, that's the difference in the devil and the Spirit of God. The devil wants you to walk around guilty and condemned. Jesus wants to take you to Calvary and says, I paid the price for that.
Hallelujah.
I want you to believe that.
Amen.
I get no glory in you having a pity party, feeling sorry for yourself. Amen. But I get glory when you go to Calvary and you leave your burden there.
Amen.
And you believe I paid it all.
Amen.
Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I know I can't sing right, but I love that song.
Amen.
Because I believe it. I take my burdens to Him. I take my failures to Him. And I leave them there. And by grace and by faith, I believe if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins.
Amen.
I don't want to fail God. I don't want to let Him down. But we all fail God.
Amen.
We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right.
But what, are you going to stay in sin?
No. Amen.
That's why He died on the cross, to take care of that.
Amen.
To deliver us from that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I lost my place. So Elijah went there and still small voice. All right. He wrapped his mantle. So then when he heard the still small voice, verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood entering in the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? You know, have you ever had God do that to you?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? You know, Elijah was down in his pity party. Elijah was feeling sorry for himself. Elijah was thinking, you know, I'm the only one. Nobody cares but me. And look at me. Oh, woe is me. You ever been there? It's not a great place to be. It's really not a great place to be. Thank you, brother. So, I think we all get there. We all get to the place sometimes where we need deliverance.
Amen.
And God comes in His sweet way and He goes,
Amen.
What are you doing there? Well, God, nobody loves me. All right, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So Elijah was a man. He was there just like us. And what doest thou here? Verse 3, and he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts because of the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left. I'm the only one. And they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah Hella, Maureen always says, gosh, you should just try to say them right. The English teacher. She loves me, though. She loves me. She's my biggest fan. So, shalt thou anoint to the prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the word of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel.
Amen.
All the knees which have not bowed to Baal.
Hallelujah.
And every mouth which hath not kissed him. Amen. You know, Elijah didn't understand everything because he was a man.
Amen, bro. That's good.
And sometimes when the anointing's off of us, we don't think right. We're not thinking right. We're not seeing clearly. We doubts and fears come in because we're subject to those things.
Amen.
So it's wrong to say that any prophet is perfect and everything he says must be perfect and everything he does must be perfect, because then what we're doing is we're making that man into something that God never said would be.
Right. Amen. That's excellent.
Never said that a prophet was perfect.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
He said Elijah was a man of like passions as we are.
Amen.
You know, here in the scriptures we see God said 7,000. Brother Branham was preaching and he said 700 one time. And people were so delusional, they were ready to believe it was 700 and not 7,000.
Amen.
Listen, the Bible is our absolute.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, listen, if I say anything contrary to scriptures, you stay with the scriptures.
Amen.
He said, my words will fail, his words will never fail.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So what we got is people getting out of balance with the help of evil spirits from the devil. And they try. When I first came around this end time message, and this church started because I believe God sent a prophet to this generation.
Amen.
I believe Malachi 4 has been fulfilled literally through the ministry of William Branham.
Amen.
Now, if people don't want to believe that, I'm sorry. That's my revelation. That's what I believe with all my heart.
Amen.
And so when I came around this message, people were trying to say, every word is thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And I resisted that from the very beginning. I said, wait a minute. He never said that. That's not scriptural. But that continued on. You have a group of people for many years. I had a sister even in this area. She says, I don't read my Bible. I read the messages. That's the word of God. Whoa, read your Bible every day.
Amen.
Read your Bible every day. Yes, I can be blessed by a sermon of Brother Branham, and I've learned a lot and gleaned a lot from his ministry, but the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
This is our absolute. And what's happened is the devil got very clever. He's a slicker, and he changed what the absolute is in the end time for some people. And he made it not the Bible, but the sermons of Brother Branham.
That's good, brother.
And when he did that, he set up people for what's happening today. People are running for Brother Branham because they realize he's just a man. I say, well, I always believe that.
Amen.
I don't have to change one thing I preach. And I'm running to preachers and say, well, I preach things that are wrong because I thought that every word and I did this and I taught that. I'm like, I never had to change one thing I preach because that's wrong.
Amen.
Our ministry should not be talking about the cloud and where Brother Branham was standing.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
Amen.
Do you realize some of the greatest criticisms he's getting now? They don't dispute that the Finnish boy was raised from the dead, but they don't like that he told the story different ways. They don't dispute that Florence Nightingale's relative was healed miraculously.
Amen.
But he said there was 10 people in the room instead of 4 people in the room. Really?
Got healed. That's what matters.
Are we going to major on somebody's recall? Well, he exaggerated. I think he lacked integrity. I think he's a false prophet. Look what you're throwing out. You're throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm here today not to defend Brother Branham. I'm here to tell you where I stand. I've looked at all the nonsense. I've looked at Lance LaRue's attack on Brother Branham.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to Brother Brian, and Brother Brian had a beautiful response to this thing that just attacks Brother Branham viciously.
Amen.
And calls him a false prophet and says we're delusional people for following Brother Branham. And you know what? Brian did an excellent job, so much so that I put his response on our website with Brian's permission. If you want to read a good response to these attacks, you can download it from the website. And I don't know if we'll get to it today, Sean. Maybe I'll read a little bit of it. But Elijah was a man. He wasn't perfect. Brother Branham was a man. You know, we need the anointing of God. You know, we can do things. Look at John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist, he sat there and said, "Behold the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Taketh away the sins of the world, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose." He's the one that baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
Next day it comes out, he goes, "Behold the Lamb of God." And some of the disciples went to follow Jesus. But when John was down in prison, what happened? In Matthew 11, he says, "Now John heard in prison of the works of Christ, and he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Mm-hmm. What's John doing? He's doubting his own message. Why? How can that happen? Oh, John wasn't a prophet. Mm-mm. A prophet never would have done that. He was a prophet.
Amen.
Jesus said there hasn't been a greater man before John.
Hallelujah.
He said, "You know what? This is the man that fulfills that scripture in Malachi."
Amen. Amen.
So what are we looking at? When the anointing left him and he's down in that dark dungeon, how would you feel?
Yes, sir.
It's like he's looking at the end of his life. He's looking at things. Oh, he's doubting. And then he had disciples still following him. Why weren't those guys following Jesus? Because mm-hmm. they didn't believe the message of John.
Amen.
They just had their eyes on John. Oh, we got that too today.
That's good, Brother John.
Oh, wow. So he takes these guys that are wrong, says, and they're John, oh John, oh John. It's all about John, 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 John.
Amen.
Hey, go ask Jesus if he's the one.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not attacking John. I'm not attacking Elijah. I'm saying Elijah was a man.
Amen, brother.
Praise wasn't brother. Perfect Amen. Man. And if you try to make Elijah perfect, you're wrong.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And if you say, "Well, I found a place where what he said wasn't exactly right." Really? Oh, wow. You know, I wonder if we put a microscope on your life, what we're going to find.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we'll find some places where you're not right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we'll find some places where you recalled stories not exactly the same every time? How about the Roman centurion that came to Jesus? Right? Had a sick servant.
Yes, sir.
You take one of the Gospels, that Roman centurion was standing in front of Jesus. But you take the other Gospel and he sent servants to Jesus. Yes, oh, it's false! Throw it away! This is the Word of God.
Amen.
It's the same story.
Amen.
One had more details than the other.
Amen.
And if Brother Branham retells a story differently and he got it wrong one time, I don't care.
Amen.
The boy was raised from the dead.
Amen.
Florence Nightingale was healed.
Amen.
It's like strain it in that and swallow a camel.
That's true.
I'm not mad. I tell you, I'm really happy.
Preach, brother,
because I know where I stand. God sent a prophet to this generation. Now, I do not believe that you have to hear this message to go on the rapture.
No, sir, brother.
That's being passed around the world.
Christ.
You can't be saved unless you hear the voice of Brother Branham. No way! That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Brother Branham taught.
Amen.
Trust in what he did.
Amen.
On Calvary.
Hallelujah.
And you can be saved.
Amen.
And the wedding garment is not to hear so many messages. The wedding garment is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
You can't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost without listening to Brother Branham. That's a lie.
Amen.
You're going to tell me these martyrs in China that never heard of Brother Branham, they're so on fire for God, they give their life to God, that God can't pick them for the bride? God will pick his own bride.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We shouldn't even talk about those things. We should focus on what we know. It's not for us to say who's in the bride and who's not in the bride. What we need to do is make our calling and election sure. What we need to do is we need to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need to have our day of Pentecost. We need to have our day at Calvary.
Amen.
Amen.
and not be critical of others.
Amen.
Not be critical. Even those that are attacking Brother Branham, we pray for them. Because they're delusional while they point at us. Right?
Amen.
So we pray for them.
Amen.
And I say, don't debate.
No,
don't argue.
No,
not interested in argument. Even if all they accuse Brother Branham is true, I believe Brother Branham is a prophet of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You say, Brother John, I haven't heard any of this. But you might. And I want you to know where I stand. I've heard it all. I'm not afraid to look at it. Because I believe it. By spiritual revelation. Not by intellectual. Not by intellectual. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, Isaiah one time, Hezekiah was sick under death. How many knows that's true?
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah went in there and said, thus saith the Lord, set that house in order. You're going to die. You're going to die right now, buddy. Get your house in order.
Yes, sir, brother. Amen. That's good. Help us, Lord.
Hezekiah, he was one of the great kings, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Amen.
He turned his face to God. And he cried to God. You know, we can cry out to God. No matter what the situation
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
Oh, God, I've tried to serve you with all my heart.
Amen.
God saw us. All right, I'll give you 15 years.
Yes, he did. Grace.
Oh, Isaiah, false prophet. You said, oh. Isaiah wasn't a false prophet.
Yes,
you see, be careful when you judge a prophet of God.
Amen.
Be careful when you judge these things. Jesus said, judge not lest ye be judged.
Amen.
Condemn not lest ye be condemned.
Amen.
Right? Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Can I share a little bit of the letter from Brian?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a difference between a Christian and a happy Christian, right?
Amen.
Brother Bram saw that woman dancing in the aisle and he was kind of critical. He's like, oh, what's she doing there? And the Lord said to him, maybe she's got more victory than you. Right? Maybe she got more victory. Praise the Lord. All right, this is on the website. Hey, you want to show the website, Sean? I got it up there. Because there's going to be, see where it says miscellaneous?
Yes.
Click on, did you click on it already? Because... So on miscellaneous, the calendar's there, so you can download that if you lose one, or you can get another one here. Or if you're at home, you're wondering, you know, dates. And there's that Brian Freebone response to Lance LaRue. What we're going to show you is there, because I realize we're going to read it, and you're going to like, gosh, I can't remember anything he said.
True.
We go out of church, and I say, Maureen, you didn't like that one, did you? And she says, oh, you're always putting me a test. And I'm just kidding her. I know she might get a little bit out of it. And so, but have you ever been to church sometime? You've been blessed and you can't hardly remember what he said? That's why things need to be repeated sometimes. That's why in school things are repeated, you know? So I'll give this to you because I know I'll read it to you and you'll be like, I can't remember one thing he said. I'm trying, but I can't. Now listen to the spirit of this. Brother Brian, who is my friend and brother.
I love him. Amen.
Dear, he said, hi, Brother Lance. Trust you and your family are well. Isn't that nice? He's not attacking him.
Mm-hmm.
A brother referred me to the video you recorded on YouTube, which I listened to last night. I listened to it too. I felt to record a few comments, not to be antagonistic or debate, because I do think I understand why you have taken your stand you have taken regarding William Branham's ministry. These are certainly challenging times. I don't actually want to talk about the detail of the video, but rather assuming all the content is true, what should our reaction to this discovery be from a biblical point of view?
Amen.
He's not saying he agrees it's true. He's just saying, just assume that. It is sometimes hard to be objective when we are engrossed in the events of our own lifetime and the issues of our times. It is always challenging to put ourselves in Bible times and ask the question, how would we react if the same were true today? I also understand if you are not interested in reading the points I make below, I am sure you have been under pressure enough regarding the subject. Now, this is true. There are spirits around this end time message that are completely vicious. Completely vicious, and it's not the Spirit of Christ. And if somebody disagrees with anything that is commonly accepted around the message, they attack them. If somebody's confused about who Brother Branham is and they have doubts and things, they get attacked viciously. Instead, when someone's in trouble trying to help them and love them, they get attacked viciously. And I think those people are in trouble as well. Number one, firstly, I'm not going to try and defend what appears to be indefensible. I am not going to blindly refute all that has been said. It is unfortunate that after all these years, most of the witnesses that have been able to shed more light or some situations are now dead. That's true. Most of the people that had these so-called conversations are dead. Assuming all that you said in the video is correct, do the visions identified, which appear to have not come to pass, completely disqualify and make the ministry of William Branham false? Are we to conclude he's a false prophet? See, what's interesting to me, you know, he references Deuteronomy where it says if a prophet says the Lord says something and it doesn't come to pass, the Bible says then the Lord didn't say that, and don't fear that prophet, right? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it implies if a prophet says something and it comes to pass, well, then that was me that said it, right? Now, what's interesting is Lance takes a quote from Brother Branham where Brother Branham said, everything must come to pass. But he doesn't take that from the Scriptures. Scripture said that if a prophet says something and it doesn't come to pass, then God didn't say it. That's what it says. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Now, Eddie Biskell, who was a friend of Brother Branham, he has an interesting video about, because they talk about the brown bear. Brother Branham said he was going to get this brown bear, and apparently he didn't get it. Well, Eddie Biskell has a response to that, and it's an interesting story that is an explanation of why it didn't happen. See, we don't know all the facts. We don't know all the facts. And to presume that we know everything is really presuming. It's venturing without authority. Mm-hmm. You know, and the other issues I talked about, you know, well, he retold the Finnish boy story different ways. He retold the Nightingale story different ways. And all these discrepancies they find, I think it's really lame what they're doing. All right. Assuming it's correct, all right. Do any of the above discrepancies or errors have any real impact on the revelation of the Word of God that he brought in his message? See, they don't.
Oh, sir. Amen.
It has nothing to do with the content of what he preached. Do they affect the Logos? Logos being the concept of God as distinct from the Rhema, which is the spoken written word, amen, delivered in the sermons of William Branham. Do they impact the theme of the message being restoration of faith to the fathers? No, Brother Branham's message was right, and it restores us back. See, you know, too many people look at the wrong things. They're looking at the wrong things. Let me just keep going. Does this make the message itself false? What makes the message false is if it's contrary to the Bible, the Word of God.
Amen.
Now look at David. David's a good example. David lied to Abimelech the priest about being in the king's business when pursued by Saul, which cost the lives of 85 priests. He lied to the Philistines about his allegiance to Israel, which is what a betrayal. He even pretended to be a madman foaming at the mouth this evening. How many knows that's true?
Amen.
His adultery, now this is a really sad part of David's life. His adultery with Bathsheba, his lies and orchestrated murder of Uriah are some of the worst atrocities of the human heart. Do David's lies and other failures make the Psalms false?
No,
think of that.
Amen. That's good, bro.
According to the same logic that they're using, they say, well, those Psalms can't be of God. Because look at what he did.
Good, brother.
I say the Psalms are the Word of God.
Amen. Say it, brother. Amen.
God's Word came. The perfect God worked through imperfect man.
Amen.
It's
good, brother.
He still does.
Amen.
He still does.
Amen.
You know, this shouldn't hurt us. It should help us and say, you know, hey, maybe God can use me.
Amen.
Let me tell you a story. You know I love Brother Perry, right?
Amen.
Brother Perry Green, and I believe I'll see him on the other side.
Amen.
I love Brother David Momulus. Oh, I love that man.
Amen.
They both were very different men. You know what? They didn't get along with one another.
That's a
I'm with Brother Perry. He's telling me things about Brother David and stuff, and I just, you know, listen, and I'm like, oh well, you know. And then I'm with Brother David. He's telling me stories about Brother Green. And you know what I say to my heart? Praise God.
Amen.
Because God uses these men and they're carnal. Maybe God can use me.
Amen.
That's how I take it. God uses imperfect man.
Amen.
Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Yes. But God can use you.
Amen.
If we'll let him.
Thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm trying to finish. So David, you know, David did bad things. Man, he'd be out of the message in a heartbeat.
Wow.
No way would we take anything he said. Six, did Moses' loss of temper and smiting the rock, resulting in God forbidding to complete his mission to the promised land, make his message false? No. Did Samson's relationship with Philistine woman make his gift and ministry false? No, Samson did some bad things. But God used them anyway.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 7, 15 to 17. Thou shalt in any wise, you can read this on your own, but thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself. Is that what the Bible said? Nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said to you, ye shall henceforth return no more in that way, neither shall multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply himself silver and gold. Here's Brian's saying, did Solomon's accumulation of riches, multiplication of wives, building the heathen temples to false gods for his wives, getting horses from Egypt disqualify him from the office of a king?
Mm.
A rigid stance on the word of God would say yes. Should it nullify the Proverbs?
Mm. No, sir.
Throw them out. We can't listen to them. Look what Solomon did.
Amen.
His songs, Ecclesiastes. Do we throw out the message, his message, as a result of these things? Is this being done to William Branham's ministry? Absolutely is what's happening.
Amen.
They're saying, we don't want to listen to that message because we found faults. We found discrepancies. It's wrong. What about the discernment? What about the thousands of miracles? What about the blinded eyes open? He would go into a deaf school and wipe it out. They were out of business. Not William Branham, but the God of William Branham.
Amen.
What about the humility in that ministry?
Yes, sir, brother.
What about the love you can feel coming off his sermons?
Amen. That's what drew me, brother. Amen. Hallelujah.
How do you throw all that out?
Amen.
I think it's, to my honest opinion, there's a little bit of self-righteousness going on.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I have integrity.
Mm.
I'm an honest person.
Mm.
You're a delusional person.
Amen.
You're setting yourself up that you have more integrity and more honesty than William Branham. We'll be praying for you. Number nine. Do we reject wholesale Abraham for lying twice about his wife to the Egyptian and Philistine kings to save his own neck? That really wasn't a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, I'm scared to die. Just say you're my sister, okay?
It's terrible, actually. It's terrible.
And then they take her.
Then
what's he doing going, this is not good. This is not good. How did she feel? What a wimp. Can't even stand up for me.
Right.
I tell you, Maureen wouldn't put up with that. She, sister, I'm his wife. Kill him if you want. I'm his wife. Oh, praise the Lord. Hey, did this happen in the Bible? Abraham, the father of faith. Oh, he can't be the father of faith. He lied. You know why he's the father of faith? Because God said he's the father of faith.
Amen.
You know why? Because he had an unconditional covenant with God. David had an unconditional covenant. And you know what? Through faith in Calvary, we have an unconditional covenant with God. Praise God.
Amen.
Read Romans 4, right? All right. Father of faith, why did God in such circumstances call him a prophet and tell the king to get him to pray for him? Could not the king have argued with God that he does not want the prayers of a lying prophet? 10. When comparing these issues with biblical times of the life of the men God had chosen and comparing them to William Branham's failings, can we really justify leaving the message? Understanding by this comment, I am not referring to the message of William Branham equivalent to scriptures as used in the biblical examples above, but as a message sent from God to point us back to the written word of God. Yeah. Brian and I are very close on that. We don't believe the message is above the Bible. The Bible is the word of God.
Amen.
And the message came to point us back to the correct faith in the scriptures. Certainly we can justify a shift in focus from William Branham to Jesus Christ. I agree with that. Amen. Too much is put on Brother Branham. They got comic books about him.
Oh.
You know, I don't want the kids to read comic books of Brother Branham. I want them to learn about Jesus.
Amen.
All right. And I suggest that perhaps all of these things were allowed by God to accomplish just that, for he will share his glory with no man. He is a jealous God. There's only one masterpiece, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think we all agree with that.
Yes, sir.
We have a lot of material in the life and spoken words of William Branham that were never recorded and are not available to us in the prophets of the Bible. Should this have been the case, I'm sure we would have many things that would have led to similar concerns in their ministries. 12. I believe the reason for the reaction to the issues that have come to light regarding Brother Branham are a result of the false foundation that was preached and believed by message believers. This placed such an emphasis on Brother Branham and placed him in a position of almost infallibility. A wrong absolute with wrong teachings was established, and it seemed that almost all ministries continuously reinforced this in such a way, in such a delusional state, and if any would dare to challenge it, they were put out of the kingdom of God. You were not considered in the message. Now the foundation has been destroyed in many lives. Now that confidence has been undermined. It has caused a total rejection by many. With this rejection, the whole purpose of the God-sent ministry of William Branham is lost to many. See, there is something good in this message.
Amen, brother.
Despite all the false.
Amen.
But when they focus on the false, they throw it all away and they lose the benefits.
Amen.
Lose the benefits. Now, if someone here doesn't really understand who Brother Branham is and everything, we'd be glad to take time to help you understand.
Amen.
But for those of you who understand, I'm trying to help you. Verse number 13, looking at the whole situation objectively, we need to look not at the backside of Israel, where we can, like Balaam, find much to curse in Israel, but look at Israel as seen by God. Amen. Through the blood and the election and grace of God. Even Balaam, under the vision of God, found it impossible to curse Israel. Again, looking objectively, taking a helicopter view, so to speak, was there ever a ministry like that of Brother Branham with such unerring accuracy in discerning the lives of thousands in the meetings? Of those visions that are recorded in his discernment lines, I am not aware of any that failed. When we look at how accurately he identified the signs and seasons of God's kingdom in the last days, a message of biblical truth without compare in relation to the last days of the church, he truly identified the promises for our day. Then there are the numerous testimonies of those that knew him in the manner of his life, the Spirit of Christ manifest in his life in so many trying situations. How can a man live so much like Jesus Christ? Let me stop there. People even thought he was Jesus. People even baptized in his name, even though he said, don't do that. But they so much thought he was God. They you know, I'm not ashamed of that, because how many founders of a sect lived so much like Jesus that people thought he was Jesus? Not many, right? But he said he's not Jesus. But it was the Spirit of Christ in him. Have not the Spirit of Christ. Are we therefore to reject the ministry outright? As Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, the Scriptures, than his own experience in Mount Transfiguration. Brother Lance, I don't expect you to send me any answers to these questions, but I do believe we all need to address the key issue of not so much the person of William Branham, but the main concern, which is the truth brought us by God be not lost to his children. I do understand your arguments from a logical point of view. I'm still trying to understand, after 53 years of Christian experience, the logic of God's election and grace. Amen. Can you understand? Now listen, Brian's very sincere here. He says, it seems neither just nor equitable from my human standpoint, but I believe it with all my heart. Amen. You see, God's grace and his mercy is not logical.
That's right.
It's not just. But thank God for it.
Amen. Amen.
The fact that he forgives us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The fact that he gives us grace. We can't understand that.
Amen.
I think that there's a know-it-all spirit in the land that thinks you can know everything. We can't know everything.
Amen, brother.
God help us. So let's all stand. So things can never be understood by human judgment and reasoning in relation to God's relationship with his elect servants and indeed all mankind without recourse to the election and grace of God. God bless you, your brother in Christ. He did not de-Christianize Lance, but I think he asked some very good questions. That's on the website for you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I confess that, Lord, if you put a microscope on my life and you find all my faults, Lord, that I'll never make it, Lord. I know that if I could only stand in your justice by your law, Lord, I know I'd be condemned. I'd be sent to hell, and I would deserve that, Lord. But, Lord, I stand here, as with many others today, we're trusting in your grace and in your mercy. Lord, we ask humbly you forgive us where we've grieved you, where we failed you in any way, O God. Cleanse our mind and our hearts, Lord. Make us pure, Lord. Lead us in a path of holiness, Lord. Help us to reject all the things of this world. And may we focus on your word. May we pray, Lord, we want to be more like you.
Amen.
Bless each and everyone today, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see as you would see and not with human understanding. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for allowing me to get that off my heart. It's been on my heart for some time. And I just feel sometimes I have to do things as in the role of a pastor that I don't like to do. But I feel it's important that we realize, you know, because there's an attack happening all over the world today. People with a misunderstanding are leaving something so wonderful. And I thank God that I came in contact with Brother Bram's ministry. And I don't lift him up. I believe if by the grace of God we can be there, I believe our brother Branham will be there. He'll stand beside us worshiping the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's right. All the focus won't be on him. It's not going to be on Paul. It's going to be on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How about that song, without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I'm like a ship without a sail. Do we have that one, Sean? He's looking. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not called that, but I don't know what I'd do. What would you do without Jesus? Someone needs to help me. I'm going to start wrong. Hey, Amber. Help me, Amber. I can do nothing.